We reached out to David Osted. He was kind enough to join us in studio right now. We will take your submissions if you have any questions for the former Vancouver Whitecap goalkeeper. You can give us a call at 604-280-0650. You can text us at 650-650 or email us on point at sportsnet650.ca. Of course, we are live on Twitter as well. Mr. Osted, thank you. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem, and thank you. And this is not to come in here and do anything. Business of soccer can be tough. I think you surprised some people when you let it be known that your conversation with the team about your future occurred in June. Is that the normal process for your teammates, or was that a little unusual when a decision kind of had to be made by you and your future?
I think it was a little unusual. But that said, we had talks previous years about options, and I had sought kind of confirmation of where everything was going with me and my family in previous years. But as it was this year, they approached me in June, which I was surprised about, and we kind of had talks throughout June and kind of try to figure out where everybody was going.
So you probably were the only guy on the team that would have those talks in June?
I don't know. To be honest, I assume I was, but that's obviously a question for the management and for Whitecaps.
Do you think the team should have done probably a little differently? Maybe ask you in September, or it was a bit strange, even from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, listen. Obviously, the management had a plan with it. They were trying to achieve something, and at the end of the day, we couldn't agree on the contract, and we couldn't agree on kind of going forward, and that happens. It's like Perry said, it's the business side of soccer, and I respect their decision to say that they didn't want me on that kind of money. That's a business decision. So I'm okay with that. I would have hoped for better talks going along the way, and how this could have ended on a better note.
How difficult is it then? You know, and we just heard Stefan Mermenich played very well, and we heard it's always decisions made on training and how things are played. How difficult was it? Did you think there was a fair shake on you being able to play games in July, August, September, and October, knowing that the team knew that you weren't going to be a part of it in the next season to come? Do you think that, you know, the balance was tilted a little bit, going, well, Stefan's going to be our guy, he's not going to be here? Did that weigh into any decisions?
I don't know. Again, that's a question for management. I'd say one thing that was very, very important for me was that this was not made public to the team, because I wanted...
Your decision or theirs? Or you guys both talked about it?
No, their decision. I obviously didn't want anything kind of interfering with what I knew was going to be my last season at the Whitecaps. I wanted to end on a high, and it was important that my teammates didn't have to have questions about why this and why that regarding me. And I think I've showed over July, August, September, the month I played, that I had a very high level. I was able to cope with knowing that I wasn't going to be here, because my focus was on ending on a high. My focus was, my dream was to end with a championship.
David Osted joins us. We'll take your calls if you wish. 604-280-0650. Text submissions at 650-650, or you can email us on point at sportsnet650.ca.
David, you've been a key part of this team for the last 4+ years. Do you think you did enough to lose that starting job this year?
No. I didn't. I think a player will always say that he should have a starting position, but I think I showed over the 28 games that I played that I had the high level to be in there. I had the level to be a difference maker, which I think I've been in the years I've been here, and I was really hoping to be that difference maker in especially our playoff push. But like I said, it ended up the way it did. It doesn't diminish the 4.5 fantastic years I've had here. I've been privileged to play in this city and for this team, and that's what I take away from all of this. I would have wanted to end up end it on a better note. But I still look back on this 4.5 years as has been a fantastic experience with this club.
How many of your teammates knew your situation? Didn't say anything to the media? Did most guys in the room know come July and August?
I don't think a lot knew, no. Like I said, it was important for me to keep this within
just your family and a couple of close friends.
Exactly, yeah. So that I could focus on what I wanted to do, and that was play.
Was it harder because you were so involved in the community? You are the one guy that certainly all the fans that have tweeted to us on Twitter and to you when we said we were going to be on, they just said, hey, thank him for what he did. Met him with my kids and all that. Was that difficult the last couple of months? Because you are that type of guy. Always have been, to make sure, hey, let me sign an autograph. Let me pose for a picture. You're always the last guy coming in after a game, you know, making sure you're clapping to the fans and doing that. Was it a hard summer for you in that end?
Excuse me. The whole what happened in June here actually made it even more important to me to be that guy, to take that extra 5 minutes to see the fans, because I kind of knew it was coming to an end, and I wanted as much as possible to show the appreciation that I have for the fans in this city of the way I've been treated here. So it made it more important for me to be that guy in the community and make sure the fans knew that. I truly appreciate it, the way that they've treated me.
So what lies ahead for David Oestedt? I know it's still fresh in terms of, you know, the season just ended, but you've known about this since June. Are you going to be sticking around in North America, or are you maybe heading back to Europe?
I've got options, kind of leaning both ways, so I'll have to take the next couple of weeks to figure out what those options specifically is, where they are, and what's going to be the best way forward for me and my family.
You mentioned dealing with contracts seems to be a little different here in North America than it was in Europe. In what way? Because people certainly will go back to Camilo being a Vancouver Whitecap and how that contract somehow slipped through and you have the Gold Boot winner and he's not here. How is it different from a player, from an agent perspective, how you guys are dealt with and deciding whether you're going to be on an option year and where you're going to be?
So obviously in Europe, it's different contract situations where most players, if they're not contracted with the club, they have a chance to a half a year in advance to go and negotiate with other clubs to settle their future and this. And North America is different that way because of MLS being that single entity and owning the rights of the players. It's something that the player unions are trying all that they can to change more and more, to give more and more of the rights back to the players. But it is different in a way that you're more bound in MLS and to the team. So it changes kind of the dynamic of how you can view your future, because you're kind of waiting on someone else to make this.
Yeah, is it tougher as a player, you know, as a fam, a guy who has a family and it's a business? Is it a tougher situation to be in?
It is. I think everybody out there, whether they play soccer or have a 9-to-5 job, wants to know what comes tomorrow and where their next paycheck is. And I don't think I'm any different than that. So you definitely look at where's my future going to end up. But this half year for me was more about ending on a high, making sure that I performed and didn't let this distract me from what I really wanted to do, and that was win with this club. So I did everything I could to make sure that this wasn't a distraction.
There was a report once saying, oh yeah, you're being a little bit of a distraction. You know, they were talking about, did you hear that? I know there were some people that, you know, through Twitter, and, oh, I think he's being tough to deal with.
I haven't seen that, no. I hope that's not the case. I did everything I could to not be, and even at the end here, where it was disappointing in not playing, I tried whatever I could to be there. It's obviously a weird situation when you play 28 games in a season, a regular starter, and then suddenly you're on the bench. You kind of have to. It's a different dynamic. It's a different interaction with these with these players, and I tried everything that I could not to influence Steph as well, making sure that he did his job, because in all of this, I've said that I think Stefan's done exactly what he needed to do. He came in positive, came into work, and he's a good guy. So I didn't want to influence anybody on the team negatively. I tried to be there in training and be myself.
So you mentioned, yeah, the relationship with the club is kind of ending off on a bit of a sour note, but how is your relationship with the boys in the room there? Has anything, you know, how is that relationship for you?
Fantastic. Listen, I appreciate the guys very, very much. We had our end of the year party yesterday. I got to say goodbye to all the guys, and that meant a lot to me. These guys have meant a lot to me in the 4.5 years I've been here. They frustrated the hell out of me, but that's part of it, and that's what I can take away, is that they made me a better player, and that I appreciate that.
There are some submissions. We'll just read a couple or one here.
This one from Tim Altman on Twitter for David. It wasn't just an extra 5 minutes. I've witnessed you sign autographs for an hour after you're supposed to stop signing. You were a class act.
Why was that? Why do you do that? Because you did. I've witnessed the PR staff bring you in. Say, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, I honestly have a hard time leaving when I see kids standing there and they've taken the time to come out and wait for me. So if that means taking an hour more out of my day to make these kids happy, then that's worth it. I have a hard time leaving when there's a kid standing there. And
were you that kid? Do you remember? Did you look for autographs at a young age from someone?
Yeah, I had my heroes, and I was standing there with my boots and gloves and whatever I wanted to sign, and then I've always respected athletes that take the time to just give a little bit of themselves, of their lives to the fans, because I think we as athletes mean a lot to them, but they as fans mean the world to us. That's where we play.
Well, you're loved in this city, especially after making a save, the Osted chant right after the save. What message do you have for the fans in this city, Whitecaps fans?
It's hard for me to express my gratitude for the 4.5 years I've been here. It truly amazed me once I got in here, the way I was welcomed, the way my family was welcomed. I've always and will always have a special connection with this city. My twin boys are Vancouverites, little Canadians. So I'll always this city will always have a special place in my heart, and I wish nothing but the best for this club and these fans.
You had at one point thought that maybe this could be home. Is that out the window now, or would you play and have Marie and the family here? Or does everything, I imagine, what goes through your head in 6 months, right, in the last 6 months?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine playing somewhere and not having my family there. I need my family next to me, and that's a big part of why I'm successful as well, as my family. This has become home. This has become a second home. Whether in the future we'll come back here, that's hard to say. I don't know yet.
What will be your influence to make your decision? It was business for the Vancouver Whitecaps and salary and having that money available where they want to spend it next year. Will it simply be, when it comes to an athlete, is it, hey, this is the best deal on the table, it's going to provide more for us? Or what do you weigh into factors that if you have several opportunities in front of you?
For me, it has to be the whole package. It has to make sense financially, obviously, but it also has to make sense for my family, where we live, what the chances are of winning. I want to win. I've said that all along. I think people can see when I play that's my passion. I want to win. So that's a big factor in where I'll go next is I want to win something. I want to have new experiences. I want to go somewhere again where I can prove myself, because that's what drives me. I love proving that I'm the top.
You never said anything. No one ever asked you how difficult was it on that first leg here at home, the biggest game that this franchise had played. And I will argue two of the guys who have been entrenched in the community more than anyone else in yourself and Jordan Harvey sitting on the end of the bench watching it.
Yeah, that was hard, I think, for both Jordan and I. And talking about Jordan, is there's again a guy who gives everything of himself every single day and to the community as well. So kind of us sitting there on the bench next to each other, I think both of us was hurting because we wanted nothing more than to be in there to help the guys out and to win.
David, what are your thoughts on the way that MLS is structured? You talked about Europe's a little different. There seems to be a lot of turnover in the MLS on a year-to-year basis, whether it's due to the salary cap or free agency or these clauses that MLS has that the European game does not. Does it make it tough for a player to have these player or club options come up every single year? And it's that uncertainty that seems to be there where the European game, at least you can look at 18 months in advance because maybe your contract is up at this point. MLS seems to have a little bit of a different structure.
Yeah, it does. I think it makes it hard on teams to have the consistency. Like you say, the turnaround is big in many clubs in the offseason. A lot of players going in and out. And it's hard when you have to have a core of players and every single year kind of maybe change that core or have new players come into that core. I think you see the teams that are successful and if you see teams in Europe, they have a core of these players. They have a squad of these players who know each other, who plays multiple years together, and that's kind of how the squads are built. So, obviously, MLS being a salary cap league, that it's different. You have to assess different things of what can I afford here and what can I do here. But there definitely is a big turnaround.
Where are you different from when you first landed in Vancouver to put on a white cap uniform? And you were the guy in waiting. I mean, Brad Knight and Joe Cannon were playing good soccer. And everyone was waiting, and when's Osted coming in? Maybe it's not fair to come in. I mean, that is sports. You came in and didn't really give it up for 5 years. How are you different as a player and as an individual as you finish your whitecap days?
In so many ways. I think as a player, I'm better. For the 4.5 years I've been here, I'm a better goalkeeper. I'm a better player. I would like to think I'm a better person as well. I think I learned a lot from being here. It's hard to say how much it means to a guy like me to go to a place like BC Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And being involved with that, I was honored and being asked to be a part of Jeans Day along with my family. And every year we go there, it amazes me the kind of work they do. And that just every time I go there makes me want to give even more of myself and be a difference maker for some of these kids. And that way I hope I'm leaving a better person.
Were you always that type of person? I mean, you got a tight family. I don't know if you had to, when you're over in Europe playing, do that kind of thing, or because you were kind of, for lack of a better term, the poster boy and willing to put yourself out there. Was that something that you always had in you?
I've always had the kind of the urge to do that because, like I said, I think it's important for athletes to give as much of themselves as possible. But coming over here, the Whitecaps provided the opportunities to get in the community a lot more, and especially with something like BC Children's Hospital, was an honor to be a part of. Hope and Health as well was an amazing experience to get out with these kids and see just how happy they got from us spending half a day with them. So That's always meant a lot to me.
David, in terms of the on-field product, you've played in MLS now for 4.5 years. How do you think it ranks in the world? You saw, there's been a lot of movement in the last 5 years. Where do you think you leave this game in Vancouver?
I felt that the game of soccer in Vancouver has become significantly bigger in the years I've been here, and I've seen more and more people being involved and being interested, and I think that's credit to the club for promoting it and for getting as many people in the stands as possible and having a good product. MLS in total has gone out a lot, especially with the guys like Giovinco, David Villa, these guys coming in has really lifted, I think, MLS in general. And it's going to be exciting to see where it goes. I think at one point, and that's my personal opinion, I think you have to slowly raise the salary cap and become more and more competitive, because it's still hard with big leagues like EPL and Bundesliga to compete for those kind of players. So I think more and more you need to spend a little bit more money to be, if you really want to be that top five league in the world.
So as a player in the locker room, is that something you focus on? Obviously, you're making your own money, but is it important for the club to bring in those big players? We've talked about a lot in Vancouver, where you look at the TFCs of the world, the New York City FCs, they sign those big checks. Do you think the Vancouver Whitecaps need a marquee signing or two?
Not necessarily a Giovinco or a marquee signing of that. I think it's also important to look at how you put together a successful team. Does Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo make Whitecaps better? Probably. They probably will, but it is not necessarily the solution to all your problems. You need to build a squad that's good enough to compete. And I think that's what you're going to see in MLS more and more. You will have these superstars, but more and more you'll see the guys right after that superstar become better and better.
Well, there's a lot of guys that play different sports in this city, and some really embrace wearing the uniform and representing Vancouver. You have done that from day one. You know the business and I know the business, and that's the great part and the cruel part of this sport. But all the admiration that you have been given and what you have been given back, my compliments to you, and we appreciate that you've come in here, because I wanted to have a conversation with you. I think we need it, and the fans need it to hear where you thought. So thank you. Good luck to you and Maria and the family. And you have worn and represented the city with an awful lot of pride, and I think most sports fans are appreciative of it. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, guys, and thank you for my time here. It's truly been a pleasure.